And good afternoon. Welcome to Market Talk for Tuesday, April 13th, 2021. I am your host, Jesse Allen. Great to have you here with us. MarketTalkAg.com. That's our home on the web, MarketTalkAg.com. And you can also find our social media links there, all of our streaming sources, our YouTube channel where you can watch the video version of the podcast each and every weekday, and all of our great radio affiliates and partners, so much more. It's all online, MarketTalkAg.com. Well, we started the week with a sell-off in grains. We come back in here today, and we bought the breaks, and we were higher, led by old crop corn and soybean oil today. Let's talk about all of it. Let's bring in Brian Split with AgMarket.net joining us here this afternoon. Brian, how are you today?
Doing good, Jesse. How you doing, man?
I'm great. I appreciate you joining us here today to talk about the market trade. And, it's been an interesting market trade the last couple of weeks. We've gotten through these big USDA reports. You know, Friday we had the WASDE report. We come in Monday, we sell off, and then we turn around today and we buy the breaks back. It's just kind of been up and down with all the different news events. But let's talk about today's trade. And I know we're getting some more weather issues and reports in here. And we saw bean oil correct today. Old crop corn was higher. Just overall, what is your impression after today's close where we're at with this grain market?
So I would say that markets are still trending higher. Today was led by corn. We did have a general risk on type of day today. So dollar was making fresh lows since the peak that was made on March 31st, right at the end of the quarter. So we've had about 2 weeks of downward price action, the U.S. dollar that's been supportive. Gold, silver, energies were all higher today. So we did have a general risk on day today, but a little bit more aggressive in the grains, especially corn. We're talking more and more about the Safrinha crop in Brazil. Some of the agencies internal in Brazil are reducing their estimates of that crop. I know one agency reduced the estimate of the crop specifically in Mato Grosso by about 3.5%. And Mato Grosso is going to be the region that is going to be the higher production region, but there's Safrinha corn going in other areas. We see statistically that some of the other regions southwest of Mato Grosso have actually had less luck with precip. And so in general, you know, more concern towards Safrinha corn is going to lead towards more support towards domestic old crop futures. And if this really turns into a concern about that crop going backwards, then might be similar to 2016, where we saw our export program really strong all the way through the end of the marketing year. And that would mean, you know, continued strength in the spreads. So we're looking at May premium to July, continued strength in the basis. So all of these things are going to be supported by crop concerns in Brazil on corn at this point.
Well, and looking at today's closes, really strong on that old crop. And I mean, 580 for May on the futures side, and even the new crop holding above that $5 mark here today. And I know another supportive thing for farmers that they're looking to do selling in corn right now, cash basis is really strong here in the U.S. I don't think it really matters necessarily where you go in parts of the Midwest and the Corn Belt. Cash basis is really strong all over the board, Brian.
It is. Obviously some areas stronger than others, and that's just how it is with basis. But if you're comparing current basis levels to what you typically see in your own region, it's strong across the board. And right now, you know, the market has work to do. The spreads are going to be used for two things. It's trying to de-incentivize producers from holding on to old crop supplies, saying, hey, we'll give you this much right now for it, as opposed to a lower price down the road. That is also going to potentially try to ration some of the demand. So if we can, you know, get some of the end users to bide some time before using the product, that's what the inverse is trying to do. But right now, the basis market is trying to get the crop out of the producer's hands and into the end user hands.
Now, if I'm a producer who's holding on to some of that old crop corn right now, I know we've talked about this here a lot on the show recently, but you know, looking at where everything stands, if they're looking to make some just outright cash sales, or at least looking to, you know, get a floor locked in underneath them, it would just seem like now is a good time to probably do that, just guessing off where numbers are at. What is AgMarket.net recommending to producers with old crop corn right now?
Really, you're in control of your destiny there. But if you do want to participate in a potential weather market this summer, you can make your cash sale and buy a call. On the flip side of it, if you're just looking to cover the old crop, and this is more of a basis play, but if you're in an area where you think basis could get really, really exciting this summer, you're not going to be able to participate in that type of a market unless you're in the physical market. So if you think that futures and basis are going to continue to be strong, then you should hold on to your cash and maybe just simply protect from some kind of a what-if event. And we don't know. Obviously, a year ago, we had a major event that no one saw coming, and that had a substantial effect on prices. So, if I'm a producer with old crop, maybe I'm just buying a put, keeping things covered for the short term just to make sure key chart points aren't taken out and we don't do any technical damage. But I think I want to hold on to that old crop right now to take advantage of basis, which 2 months from now, we could see a really exciting market.
Stay with the weather topic a little bit. Weather also a concern throughout parts of the Northern Plains and the Canadian Prairies. Wheat futures have reflected that. Also, some weather issues in Europe as well. I know wheat was up slightly today. We had seen a big run up in spring wheat prices at the end of last week. What are your thoughts on this wheat market as a whole? Anything to consider there, Brian?
Well, spring wheat, we'll address that first quickly. We are approaching major highs that have been made over the course of the last year. That's basis, both the old crop and the new crop, the September. And so this is an area we've priced in a lot in a short period of time. So if a producer is looking at managing some risk, this is an area where you could probably be a seller or cover yourself in one way, shape, or form against these contract highs. I do think there's potential for this Minneapolis, the spring wheat market to go substantially higher. So if somebody is selling against these highs, you may not want to risk a whole lot. If we break into new highs and close into new highs, you might just want to get right back out of it. But I think we've got two problems right now. One problem is not just a spring wheat problem. It's a problem for any crop that's going to be grown up in the Northern Plains and the Canadian Prairies, as you'd mentioned. And that's, we've got drought. And, there's snow, yes, but from the producers I've talked to, the equivalent of the snowfall to rainfall equates to maybe a quarter to a half inch. That does not do anything to really change the overall scenario up there. So that's a problem for spring wheat, corn, and soybean production, and any other crops that are growing in the Northern Plains and the Canadian Prairies. But relative to spring wheat directly, especially in the Northern Plains, is just the fact that when producers are looking at corn and soybean values, and it's probably going to be soybeans, because in order to get fertilizer, if you haven't done it already, it's going to be difficult. So now it's probably losing acres to soybeans. And I think that's why soybeans have been relatively soft after this last report. Corn futures have been strong. New crop soybean futures made a spike on the report, but have backed off and have had a hard time rallying after that. And so I think a lot of that has to do with the idea of getting some additional bean acres up north if we are indeed losing spring wheat acres.
Well, and that's a great point. And I think we'll segue into soybeans here just off that. As you mentioned, it's been soft. We saw a dip in bean oil yesterday off a weak palm oil report. We come back, we buy it today, and that pulls this bean market a little higher. But I would agree with you. It's really shown a softness here as of late. And I think a lot of producers are wondering how many more bean acres will we see and what's that going to do to price moving forward. It just seems like, we kind of broke below 14 on old crop beans and new crop broke down to like this 1250 area. And we're kind of holding there right now. What are your thoughts on where the soybean market could go here in the short term, Brian?
Well, one of the problems that we're having right now, and no one talks about it too much, but it's this ongoing concern about African swine fever. And so I have no idea how bad it is or not bad. And it's because it's in China. No one really knows except the Chinese. But it is evident when you look at meal. And so we've had May meal, the front month meal, actually closed in new lows for this move. So meal made contract highs in mid-January, and we've been eroding in price ever since. And the May contract closed today at $3.95 a ton. That is a new low settlement since January. We haven't seen meal values at this at these prices since about mid-December. I tend to think that's a couple things. The market's obviously still very excited about bean oil. Bean oil was up triple digits today. Bean oil and bean meal are going to be moving inversely of each other. But I think that this continued weakness in bean meal is showing that underlying concern about African swine fever. The bean oil futures have been strong enough to keep the bean soybean futures from really rolling over. We did see the May futures and soybeans test their uptrend from their late January lows to their late March lows. So that uptrend held overnight right where you'd want it to. Hopefully that brings us back up above 14 in the short term. But I think that's the thing that's got the market soft in the short term. Now, in the big picture, whether we get a little bit more acres or not on new crop soybeans, and I think maybe that number goes up slightly. I just don't know that we have a ton of acres to really move around at this point. But we still need to have a really big crop. And so I really think that still the potential for some extreme volatility and big excitement this summer, just because of where we are in the balance sheet. So I think new crop soybeans, to me, have all the reason in the world to go up to where nearby futures have seen highs in that 14 to 1450 area. So I still think there's probably another $2 upside in the big picture over the next several months.
And that'll definitely be something we're going to be watching here moving forward, especially as we get into spring planting and see what weather issues force any changes here in the next couple of weeks. Moving over, let's talk livestock. You brought up African swine fever. We'll talk hogs. We're not seeing ASF here in the U.S., but hog futures moved above that psychological barrier at $100. We've kind of held this range a little bit. Some folks are maybe starting to worry if we top this market out. Some are saying, no, we haven't. We're just kind of consolidating to run this thing higher. I know today we were stronger in the deferreds. What is your thoughts on where this hog market is at right now and where we could be going with it, either up or down?
So I think a lot of the concern in the short term is led by two things. It's just the fact that we're extremely overbought right now on hogs. And yesterday we had a really big reversal day. We made a new contract high for June lead hogs. Then we turned around and finished lower. We finished below several of the previous day's lows. So that type of a reversal doesn't mean that we've hit the top, but we've probably hit at least a very short-term top. I would not be surprised to see some of the managed money do in hogs like they have in the grains. We've seen some of the managed money take profits on nearby contracts and roll that length out to deferred contracts. So when you look at June hogs, for example, trading $28 a hundredweight above the December contract, that's a big premium. So I'm not in the mindset that hogs have necessarily topped, and we won't know until well after the fact. But I think a lot of the participants are still looking at, if we are having African swine fever problems in China, China's going to continue to need either pork or additional live animals to be imported into the country. That should support our futures. I think a lot of the technicians are looking at the charts, looking at 2014, thinking, okay, there's not a lot of resistance between where we are now and those highs that we had just above 130. So this market might consolidate for a little bit. It might need to pull back. But it'll be interesting to see if we can make one more good run. And I think if we do make another run, it's going to be a really strong, hard and fast run towards those highs. So if I'm a producer right now and I'm looking at hedging or protecting values, it's either making cash sales, much like we talked about in corn, delivering the product selling the product and then buying a call if you really still want to participate in the potential wild market, or just use puts. Put a floor under it, put 100 floor under it. That's a great price. Leave the upside open and see what the next 60 days brings.
Switching over to cattle, today feeder cattle demand softened under pressure with the rise in corn prices. That weighed on live cattle futures as well, Brian. Box beef, though, showing some signs of keeping a little bit of near-term strength here, maybe topping a little bit. But, I mean, we continue to see demand just strong, strong, strong. We've gotten better prices in cash country as well. What's your take on cattle right now and where things stand there?
Right now, you've got you had kind of led off with the feeder cattle. Looks like these feeder contracts are still holding their long-term uptrend. So yes, we've pulled back off of overbought status, probably needed to happen to stay healthy. But, you know, we're getting to the point where both feeders and live cattle are pulling back to levels that now we definitely want to see hold. I'm watching this 120-50 area in the June live cattle. That's going to be the long-term uptrend from the October lows. You've got your 50-day moving average there. So we got pretty close to that today, made a low of 120-80. So again, into tomorrow's trade, I would like to see this general vicinity hold and see some buying. I know the cash market's asking 125. It might be a little bit lofty. I don't know when we've really seen in recent trade the cash trade above futures, but if we can manage to get the packer to chase it there, then these April futures are too cheap. The June futures will be deemed too cheap as well. So a cash trade this week might hold the key into some of the short-term direction of whether or not we're going to hold these important support levels here.
And I think it's going to be very key. I would agree with you. It just seems like we finally started to get some of that upward momentum in this cash trade the last, I'd say, about 2 weeks or so. And it's really been interesting. You know, we saw early trade last week, and now here this week, we're kind of going back to the normal. Well, let's wait till Wednesday or so to Thursday to Friday to get some of this cash trade in here. And I'm going to be very curious as well if we can get to those levels. Brian, any other final thoughts you have for us here today? Anything you want to recap or any outside market factors to touch on?
There's always a lot to talk about. I'm watching the dollar very closely. We have what looks a lot like the way we bottomed in 2018. So the dollar index is testing these lows that were made in fall and September, to be exact. If we hold those September lows and start to rally again, it's going to look exactly like how we bottomed in dollar in 2018. However, if we blow through those lows, then that's going to look very good for the commodity bulls. So I would think that we will know which direction we're going to take there by the end of the month. For producers of corn and soybeans, I think we need to be very mindful that the very first official USDA new crop balance sheet will be on the May WASDE report. If you look at corn charts, these corn markets have made highs on each report. So we've had five reports so far this calendar year. Each report has marked a swing high. Again, it wasn't the top, but we've seen all of these reports make a high and then pull back 30, 35, 50 cents off of each of these reports. So if you got some short-term grain to be sold, you might want to be patient, look for a move higher into that May report. But we're also at that time of year where typically June, July, we're going to make our marketing year highs. And so if you haven't had a plan put together, and it doesn't have to be an exact plan with prices, but at least a philosophical idea on how you're going to do your marketing this year, and you've got about 30 days to get that buttoned up here because things are going to get interesting real quick.
Brian, I know if producers want to get a little help with that marketing plan and button things up, as you mentioned there, they can reach out to you and the team at agmarket.net. You guys have a lot of great resources, not only online, on your app, but by giving you guys a phone call as well.
Right. You can reach anybody at agmarket.net at 844-4-AG-MARKET, so 844-424-6758. www.agmarket.net. And if you want to reach me directly, my direct line is 815-665-0463.
Brian, I appreciate your take on the markets as always, and for the time here on this Tuesday. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Jesse. Appreciate it.
Brian Split with agmarket.net, our guest today here on Market Talk. Find us online, markettalkag.com. This has been the Tuesday, April 13th edition of Market Talk. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Have a great afternoon.